Good morning, church. I might need to move away from any suggestions. Yep, all good. It's so good to be here this morning with you, sharing the Word of God. And before I do, I want to congratulate Brendan. Thank you so much for a beautiful morning that you organized. A beautiful worship service, and also, for the baptism today, that was really powerful. I thought that Brendan's testimony was a good enough sermon for us for the day, don't you think? So I plan to come up here and actually say the benediction, and then we can all go home and finish on time. Wouldn't that be good? Pastor Daniel did tell me I got to preach, so I have to share a little message before we go home today and enjoy the rest of our Sabbath. And I'm hoping and praying that our message today, which I've titled When Grief Meets Mission, will not only encourage us, but empower us to go forward and live our mission, live Jesus' mission. Few people that I want to mention today, and I work closely with Shanae, so I see her a bit. She's a fantastic team member or leader. She's a fantastic boss. It was so good to come this morning and saw one of my very good friends, Pastor Terry Johnson, and his beautiful wife Kimberly come in. It's good to spend time with them. And I was talking to my friend Paul, and Paul says, "You know what? You can preach anything because Terry's here. Whatever you want to preach, heresy, that's fine. Just make sure it's from the Word of God." So, Paul, I'm going to do that. Where are you, Paul? So, it's so good to be here with you this morning. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Okay, so am I. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. What a beautiful moment that we've shared as a church, witnessing and supporting and just pouring out love to Brendan, and what was happening this morning where he told all of us publicly, saying that I have accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And Father, to be able to know that he's been serving in this church for 13 years, wow, I just want to thank you for his testimony and his life. And pray that you bless him. But thank you for the opportunity also, Lord, to share with your people this morning. And I pray, Lord, as we open your scripture, may your Holy Spirit speak to me, in me, and through me to your people this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The sermon I prepared this morning was a sermon for me, actually. So I'm just telling you a bit about me, and I'm hoping that you would go away today with something special. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a moment when life hit you so hard that you wanted to withdraw? I see a lot of nods, yes. That you just wanted nothing to do with it and you just wanted to withdraw and be by yourself. Maybe because you lost someone that you loved. Maybe because you were disappointed by something or someone. Or maybe because you had broken dreams, or a health scare. Well, if you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, this passage opens with such a moment. Matthew chapter 14 opens with such a moment. The great prophet John the Baptist, the man who stood in the wilderness and cried out with boldness, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The prophet handpicked to prepare the way for Jesus the Messiah, calling out so loud whoever could hear him, "Repent and be baptized." The man who had the greatest honor, and I don't think any of us would have the same honor as John the Baptist. He had the greatest honor, and what a moment in history it was for him. Because he was chosen above all others to baptize Jesus himself. No other preacher, no other prophet, and no other pastor in all human history has ever been given such a sacred privilege. But here he was, as we open Matthew chapter 14, we discovered that he was brutally murdered. His disciples buried him, and then they went and told Jesus the news. And this is where I want to pick up the story. And allow me very quickly to share the chain of events that led to the death of John the Baptist. I like Mark's account. So if you want to go and read the whole story, Matthew gives details, but Mark gives full details. So Mark chapter 6 and verse 17 to verse 29, there we find the sickening plot to kill John. You see, he was a man of integrity. And for kids, integrity means he was an honest man. He was a truthful man, meaning that when no one was looking, he was honest. He was a man of integrity and a man of honor. We find that he was thrown in prison by King Herod because he boldly confronted King Herod about his marriage, unlawful marriage to Herodias. Now, Herodias, for those of you who don't know the story, was actually Herod's sister-in-law, married to Philip, his brother. But Herod wanted to marry her anyway, and John told him, boldly told him, that you are wrong. Don't do that. That is not right. So from that moment on, Herodias held a deep grudge against John, and she was plotting his death. She was plotting to kill him somehow. And until this night, King Herod had a birthday party, a banquet. And he had his daughter come and dance in front of him and all the guests, and filled with pride, he was so happy. I'm like, oh, this is my daughter. He made a silly mistake. In front of everybody, he just turned around and he says to his daughter, you ask me for anything and I will give you whatever you want. Up to half of my kingdom is yours if you want. And this girl, not knowing what was happening, she ran to her mom, Herodias, who was sitting there waiting for the moment she's been waiting for so long, and she was plotting the death of John. And the girl asked her, mother, what should I ask? And you find in Mark chapter 6, Herodias said to her daughter, who was also named Herodias, and said to her, I want you. I could imagine her laughing. Oh, my moment has come. Finally, John can go. And I can see her rubbing her hands. I want you to go and tell your father, this is what you want. You want John to be dead. Now run, go along. And so young Herodias, goes back and tells her father, King Herod, in front of all the guests, you've made this promise to me. You can ask anything you want and I'll give it to you. I want John the Baptist's head. What a moment. And the story goes on that King Herod had held John in high regards. He was reluctant, but he had to give in to save face. And he had John beheaded. The story goes on that John's disciples, heard what happened, went and got his body and went and buried him. And afterwards, they went and told Jesus the news. And this is where I want to pick up. When grief meets mission. So what does Jesus do? The Bible says that Jesus wanted to withdraw. He wanted to withdraw to a solitary place where he can reflect. He needed time away. He needed time to be with his father. He needed time to connect. But here's the powerful thing, church. Out of this moment of sorrow comes one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000 plus. And that's a sermon on its own. But this story shows us that when grief meets mission, God does something extraordinary. When grief meets mission, God does something extraordinary. Now, I asked Pastor Dan how long I've got to preach. And he said you normally finish around about 12:15. Well, that was just before I came up. I looked at the program and it had no times as well. So I'm like, oh, wow, they've given me freedom. So I hope you're all ready to sit in for an hour because I've got 5 points. And you're like, what? 5 points? 5 points from this chapter of Matthew. And they're not big points, so don't worry. We'll get out of here in time for lunch. Point number one, John's death. Faithfulness costs something. You see, John stood for truth, even when it offended the powerful. He could have kept silent, but faithfulness was more important to him than his life. And as Seventh-day Adventists, welcome Brendan, you are now one. As Seventh-day Adventists, we know this story very well because we, like John, have been called to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. In Revelation chapter 14, it says that we are to proclaim the everlasting gospel to call the people of the world to worship the Creator, to stand against Babylon. That's our mission. But here's the reality. Standing for truth will not always be popular. It may cost friendship, it may cost jobs, and might even cost lives. So here's my question for you. As a church, as individuals, what's one area where God is asking you to be faithful, even when it's uncomfortable? What's one area where God is asking you to be faithful, even when it's uncomfortable? That's point number one. Point number two, and you're looking at your clock now. Wow, we are going to finish on time. Point number two, Jesus' reaction. Honest grief. See, when Pastor Dan messaged me about my topic, I'm good with responding to messages. I either respond straight away or a few minutes. But I didn't reply until a day later. Because he asked me, what's your sermon topic, bro? I didn't know what to tell him. I didn't know what to say, and I didn't have an answer to this simple question. What's your topic? Now, normally, I'm the family and children ministry director. So when I go around to preach at churches, I always have an agenda. And I tell the church that I'm here with an agenda. And my agenda is that when I leave this place, I want you to know that children are important. And if they don't have the place in your church, then you have an issue. And families are important. And if you don't have a place for them, then you have an issue. So that's what I'll normally do when I go to preach because I'm passionate about our children being allowed to grow in this community. But I found it hard to reply to Pastor Dan's text. Earlier this year, in March, I had a phone call from my nephew, one of my nephews, and he said to me, "Hey, Uncle, I just want you to know that my mom had died, and she died in a car accident, and I'd love for you to come in and do her funeral." That was in March, and my heart broke for this young man because his mom and my adopted brother had broken up 20-odd years ago. So I went and did the funeral in country New South Wales where I grew up. It was probably one of the biggest funerals I've ever been involved with. It was a beautiful funeral, and it was done over the lake. It was just thousands of people turned up. That was hard for us. During our big camp this year, which was only a few weeks after the funeral, I had 3 phone calls from my family. And I missed them all because I ignored it because it was like 10:30 at night. I'm like, I'm trying to put the kids to sleep. They're normally trying to ring at this time of the night. I'll give them a call in the morning. So about 7 o'clock, I got up and thought, oh, I might give them a call. So I gave them a call, and they told me that my adopted brother was on life support. And they were to make a decision in the next few hours, and they would love for me to come down. So I left camp a little bit early, Monday morning, our big camp, and I went to be with my family. God performed miracles, because my brother's still alive, and he's well, and he's walking around, and he's back to his old life. He promised me, Jesus is number one in my life. And I was like, it better be. I'm going to stop smoking. You better. Oh, he's back to his old life. God performs miracles. He's got his time with him. And then a few weeks later, or a couple of months later in June, I had a message from my sister. Willie, you better come and spend time with your dad because he hasn't got much time. So in June, late June, my family and I packed and we went to Hawaii. You think, oh, wow, Hawaii. That's what I got, that response I got. Wow, you're going for a holiday. We did not manage to get any holiday at all. We went straight to the hospital and spent time with my dad. My family came back a week after and I stayed for just a month. I stayed with him in hospital. Every day I went with him. And every day he was such a big supporter of mine in God's work. He's not an Adventist, but he loved what I did for God. So every morning I'll read him scripture in Samoan and we'll argue back and forth about this scripture. And he goes, no, that's not right. I'm like, yes, it is right, Dad, it is. And we'll have a good laugh. He loved this scripture. He was a preacher. He's a lay preacher at his church. I came home and he was discharged that the same day. I didn't know, but he was discharged the same day. 3 weeks later, I got a phone call from my sister. Can you FaceTime Dad because I think he's going. So I FaceTimed him about 9:30 our time and he passed away 12 o'clock the same day. So I was getting ready to go to Hawaii for my father's funeral. My mom had called me and said, Willie, Dad's funeral is being put back a little bit. So don't come early, just come, you know, a week before. His funeral is being put back. So I was getting ready to go and I got a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning that my brother had died in Samoa. And I was torn. Do I go? And my brother, when I say my brother, I'm talking about my adopted family that I grew up with. So they adopted me when I was little and I grew up with my dad, my biological dad. So I was torn. What do I do? Do I go? I want to go see my dad's funeral, but I also want to go support my family. My mum rang and said, we had a long chat. She was crying. She was in tears. She said, Willie, your dad's funeral is all planned and your brothers and sister have worked hard to make it happen, make it a beautiful day. What I want you to do is I want you to go and support your family in Samoa. So I ended up going to Samoa. And I had a good time with my family there. Spent a lot of money, but it was good. And the saddest part was I had to watch my dad's funeral live stream. Now you talk about a day that you just want to withdraw and just take away yourself from everything that's happening. It's been an emotional roller coaster. But I'm not sharing this with you for sympathy. Please don't think that. I'm sharing this with you because the God that we have, he promised us. He said, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will hold you. And that is a safe place to be. And that's where I am. Jesus, when he was told about his cousin's death, he wanted to withdraw himself. He wanted to spend time with his father. He wanted to reflect on his relationship with his cousin John. He wanted to withdraw and grieve. The Son of God wanted to cry. He was hurting and he needed peace. And he needed space with his father. So the good news for us is this. Because it means that grief is not unspiritual. It means that when we hurt, Jesus understands. That's the good news for us. Grief is not unspiritual. So don't think you can't come to church when you're grieving. When we hurt, Jesus understands. Ellen White says in the Desires of Ages, page 729, that Jesus sorrowed for the lonely fate of his forerunner. He longed quiet time with God so that he can reflect on John the Baptist. So friend, family, when grief knocks at your door, don't push it down. Bring it to the Father. He is big enough to hold your pain. He is big enough to hold your pain. Point number three, compassion in the midst of pain. But as Jesus sought solitude, the crowds followed. Thousands and thousands of people came, desperate for healing, desperate for hope, desperate to spend time with Jesus, desperate to hear Jesus' teaching. And it says, the Bible says that when Jesus looked and saw the people, he had compassion for them. Now, I want you to say it with me. He had compassion. Now, say it, church. He had compassion. Now, as a church, when we see someone in need, what do we have? I'll leave that question hanging up in the air there. And here's where Jesus inspires me. He had compassion for them. Even in his sorrow, he didn't close his heart. His grief became a river of compassion. So church, what if in our darkest moment, instead of shining or shutting the world out, we ask, Lord, how can you use me today to bless somebody else? How can you use me today to bless somebody else? Because that's when mission shines brightest. Point number four, from scarcity to abundance. When Jesus was teaching, he spent the whole day. He was grieving, but he spent the whole day teaching, healing, giving hope to the crowd that came and followed him. And as Jesus was teaching and the day was going and it was getting late, the disciples came and presented Jesus a problem. And they said, Lord, it's late. Everyone is hungry. Can you send them home? Send them away so they can fend for themselves. And Jesus says this, and very challenging, but Jesus says, you give them something to eat. You feed them. They spent all day with you. Come on. The least you can do is feed them. The disciples protested. How can we feed them? We don't even make enough money to feed these people. There's so many of them. And a little boy, he has only 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. But in Jesus' hands, it becomes very much. Everyone ate. As you know the story, and there were 12 baskets left. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough. We don't have enough energy for the mission. We don't have enough talent. We don't have enough resources. But church, hear me out. When we give Jesus what little we have, he multiplies it. When we trust it in the hands of Jesus, he multiplies it. And here's my last point. Why does this matter for us today? Why does it matter for us today? What does this story have to do with me today? Well, number one is that grieve with God. Jesus shows us that it's okay to mourn, but don't mourn alone. Don't go through it alone. Bring it to the Father. Number two, see others with compassion. See others using the vision or the lens of Jesus. Your pain can become a platform for God's love. Give what you have. Don't wait until you feel ready. Offer your loaves and your fish now. Keep the mission central. Like John, stand for truth. Like Jesus, reveal love. In conclusion, this story begins with a beheading, a brutal murder, but it ends with a banquet. People going home with food. That's the gospel. God takes what the enemy means for evil and turns it into an abundance. So church, today I believe Jesus is saying to us here at One Turner, don't waste your grief, bring it to me. Don't withhold your little, place it in my hands and let me bring it to life. Don't step away from the mission, lean into it, and that is making disciples. Will you give your grief, your burdens, and even your small loaves and fish to Jesus today? If you do, he will heal your heart and he will use you to feed a hungry world. God bless you.